It was one of those things. I was on a show in Santa Barbara last night, and I was gesturing.
Oh, we're rolling? Oh. Okay.
And I was all, nah, 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 and I realized I'd forgotten to take the snake off.
I think you might now.
It's new.
I know, but I mean, we will hear it. In, oh, it doesn't matter.
Oh, I should take it off as a rat. Know, maybe. It's hissing at you.
Okay. Daniel, is it okay? Oh, okay.
Is it rattling at you, Laura?
Yeah.
But I realized as I was doing that, I was like this. I was like, oh my God, this whole audience probably thinks I actually wear snake jewelry like normal. I mean, I do now.
Well, Dan, you.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh my God.
Welcome to What We Thought Would Happen.
It's been a minute.
I know.
Hi.
Today we have 3-time curling champ, self-professed ladies woman and flight risk, beloved veteran comic and stand-up comic coach, a sensation in coaching, and just a brilliant, all-around brilliant woman and friend. Here she is, Erin Foley.
Yay.
Right here.
I can retire after that intro. One of my favorite comics of all time just gave me.
Right. Oh,
I was. Laura already knows.
One.
Just for the, I don't even know where to look. Honestly, I'm just going to keep. What if I did the whole thing this way? That you guys, I've
setting.
Got a very important part. No, Laura knows. Like I just went through many Laura Keitlinger phases.
Oh, no.
Mm. Being just unabashedly in love with her.
Yes.
Then in love with her stand-up.
Yes.
And then when you hang in there long enough, sometimes you become friends with mm-hmm. the people you love. So, I mean, it's been so many stages.
The first time I
feel lucky for both of you.
Hanging
out. For sure. What do you mean?
For us, the first time I was like, I sat down and like had a drink with Laura. I could not believe what was happening. And I remember just like, it was like the room melted away and I was just talking to Laura. And then all of a sudden I turned around and all of my friends who were over there were now like here. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Trying to like siphon some.
I'm pretty special.
Off of it. Erin Foley, it's great to see you.
So good to see you.
Erin, okay, here's what I've been thinking about. I know that you said everyone's talking about it because it's really rare that a truly amazing stand-up starts coaching other stand-ups. It takes patience. And I'm going to say, incredible empathy. Like I was writing on this show and this young comic came up to me and said, oh Lord, could I run my 5 minutes past you? And my first gut was, hey, that sounds like hell on earth. Then I backtracked and felt so fucking bad about it and listened, and her stand-up is really solid. She's this young comic. Her name is Ange Olszewski, Olszewski, and she's a very funny writer, and she lives in Utah, but I'll give you your info, because, can you tell me what your process is, like how you...
Well, honestly, I just, you know, I've been doing stand-up for so long, and then I started to get, like, out of the blue, just, like, really anxious on stage, and it never happened to me before, and I think I was just, like, getting burnt out, being on the road... And just also at the same time trying to transition to more sitcom writing. So as I was doing that, I don't know, something happened on stage where I was just like, I just felt uncomfortable. And I've always felt, well, first of all, I feel uncomfortable 24 hours a day.
No, but you're a master on stage, though. You really annihilate. You're a strong performer. So to hear you say that you're uncomfortable is striking, because you do have a loud confidence on stage.
True.
And your delivery, your material, just like across the board.
I feel like I can pull it off, but it was becoming less and less enjoyable.
Describe the like anxiousness you were like, you didn't want to do it.
I did not want to do it. Mm-hmm. But then when I was on stage doing it, I'd be like, okay, this is fine, but it would ruin my day. Yeah. It started ruining my weeks. Yeah. And I just was like, I think I just need to take, like, maybe it's just I'm done with it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the whole point of this is that was happening. Then I was doing, thankfully, more writing gigs. So that was really taking me out of stand-up. And then at the same point in time, I started working with a couple of comics, one specifically on her Netflix specials. For some reason, there's this dumb thing that nobody can mention anybody getting help
right.
I'm like,
right.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Yes,
so
correct.
People have
all
like
comedians,
a,
huge comedians all have writers.
Yes. Like, it doesn't mean they're any less talented or there's not their joke from day one.
Joan Rivers had writers.
Yeah.
Gary Larry.
And plus, whomever your significant other is probably fucking sick of hearing you say, what do you think of this? Does this work?
Do you do that?
Yeah, I do it to Garrett, and he's like out of his mind.
I'm too shy to do that to, in a relationship.
You're still in a real love phase, though.
I mean, that's nice. But yeah, I don't want to bleed over.
I'm mean to Garrett already.
I just want my, I want him to think I'm unfunny all the time. That makes it, it makes it so much easier than trying to be funny. I'm like, just think I'm boring, because I actually am.
It is hard. Yeah. Like, my partner is very, like, beyond supportive, but, like, she doesn't, like, laugh out loud. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I can't, like, in the beginning of our relationship, I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, no, that's not, I need so much bigger of a reaction.
Yes.
And it's just, like, not her. So I was like, I've stopped that.
Because I love touring.
Yeah.
I met you when you were on tour in, actually, the first, the hardest lesson I learned was your gig at Cap City. I had one Thursday show, but they'd asked me to host everything, and I said I can do everything but Thursday or whatever. And I didn't know that they book you for the block, and so they gave it to somebody else. So the weekend I met you, I was supposed to be your host or something like that.
Oh, no way.
But they, which is a normal, you know what I mean? That's a normal thing. I should have just said yes to the club and ditched the other thing. But that was a hard, like, I was like, oh, you take the money. Don't be honorable about that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you were on the road. I was like, does that contribute to, like, the fatigue you were feeling, like, that led to your coaching?
Yeah, I think it was just kind of, like, perfect storm type of thing. So, yeah, I was just, I wasn't burnt out, honestly, when I got on stage. It was just, you know how it is. It's the travel. Mm. And at the time, like, you know, I was making, like, okay money. But, like, it was, like, not worth the amount of, like, I just was exhausted.
Aaron, were you telling me about these women that were kind of, like, being anti-gay at some show?
For all the shows. Every show.
That's the first 15 years.
Jesus, no, but I remember in particular you were saying that they said, like, get a dick or
oh, no.
You mean, like, heckled?
Yeah.
I don't think I've been specifically, I don't know if I've had, like, specific anti-gay heckling.
You know, I'm confusing you with another dyke.
Okay, okay.
It's
just
Laura,
the uncomfortable silence when you do the gay reveal. You're like, that's enough.
Laura can use the slur because you're in the room.
Oh, absolutely.
I like that word.
I was kidding because I was saying, like, anti-gay. But... yeah. So then I think I took us, like, way off track. So then, so you've started helping other comics and then.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, well, how can I stay? Part of it was just like, I fell into working with a couple comics and I absolutely loved it. Like, and so I was like, well, how can I stay in stand up? Like, so I'm doing stand up, like, locally, mm-hmm, you know, because mm-hmm. I can't quit it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though I say I am done.
But you can't, it's psycho.
And then you just can't.
You can't.
Yeah. But I realize also, like, at least right now, my touring days are over. Mm. My goals are completely different.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love being around stand-ups. I'm you know, 25 years into this, I'm not jaded by stand-ups.
Like, that's amazing,
I
love that about you.
I just love stand-ups. Mm-hmm. And now I've been in the writer's room for a couple years, and writers are funny, but they're not fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think there's a real difference. They're creative and fun and brilliant, but, like, you don't want to be like, hey, let's go get beers.
Yeah,
you know,
you're
just like, see you tomorrow. You know what I mean?
And they're men, and a lot of writers are men.
And they're
balls. Everything is on the line with a pitch, right?
Yeah.
You find that? Like, if you say, yeah, but what about this? And it's like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I just feel like I just love stand-ups.
Yeah.
And I love the that's what it is. It's the nerdy, nerdy process, which I absolutely am obsessed with. So, like, this morning I was working with someone that has never, I'm working on, like, you know, someone's Netflix special, and at the same time, this woman who is, like, kind of famous in the reality space, but she's never done stand-up before. So I'm like, I find that just as interesting.
For sure.
You know what I mean? I'm like,
new people,
tell me about your
funny.
Life.
New people, because they're not overthinking anything.
Yeah.
And I find, like, I saw a new comic last night and I was dying.
Yeah.
And it was like her fourth time or something. She's like a college student. I was like, oh my God. But I see people posting online all the time, like friends and colleagues who are, like, coaching or giving some kind of lesson how to do this, and their career is dog shit. It's like they don't have
something
to back it up. The experience to back it up. I'm like, why would I take a lesson from someone who doesn't have the, like, the merit or to get it. Yeah. You have that. That's why I was inspired that you started, because I was like, oh, finally, there's like someone who can actually.
Aaron, yeah. What do you, for our, the people listening and watching, what do you charge and how do the people get in touch with you? Well, we'll plug it, but we'll I hope to God you charge. You're not just doing this out of being nice, or I'm not going to speak.
No.
We'll put your information on the website. Yeah,
it's all on Aaron K. Foley. On my website, there's a coaching a tab, and there's a video and all the information and price and calendar. My partner Sarah set the whole thing up because she's like, she's got so many skills. But she was actually the one that's like, why don't you just like make this a business since you're already doing it? And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So like in between like writing gigs, and there's just time. I just love it. So I thought, well, why don't I just try?
You gotta get that streaming sources of income bullshit. Yeah. Passive income, all that. It's like that's the new century.
Yeah.
Like JFL collapsing, which is which is wild. And I have friends who've lost jobs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's like, wow, there goes another thing.
Yeah. I didn't even know that. What happened?
What?
I'm.
Yeah. I know. Well, I filed me about yesterday.
They did.
Yes. You didn't know that.
Well, we're right in the middle of college basketball season, Daniel. So I don't watch. I don't really like. I think there's Trump Biden, but I'm Iowa basketball.
One glaring oversight in your introduction is that you're a mega sports and fanatic fiend.
Yeah.
You're saying just, curling isn't a sport?
Oh, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. Yes. It's a fashion. Curling is a fashion. Okay, wait. Where are you from?
I'm from New York.
City?
No. Long Island, Brooklyn.
Long Island where?
Long Island, like Hampton Bays area. That's where I was born, but not the rich part.
You know, I was thinking your twin is a teacher, so maybe you both have this kind of a giving nature naturally.
She's a social worker, but my older sister's a teacher, and my mom's a teacher.
Oh, okay.
There's another sister.
I got that wrong.
Yeah, an older sister.
The other sister.
Yeah, she's a professor.
Wait, you guys have the same Olsen family structure?
I don't know the Olsen family structure.
The Olsen twins, and then there's Elizabeth, the other sister.
Oh, yeah. I forgot there was the other sister. Wow. Yeah.
There's
the
garden gnomes, and then there's their older sister. I'm awful. I don't give a
Wait, okay, because I always say that Erin has a twin, but I've never seen her. Have you ever met her twin?
She's as beautiful as Erin, I'll be blown away.
Yeah, but is she real? There's an AI.
Yeah. She lives literally right down the street.
Really?
Yeah.
And Ange, who I was mean to, who I've already talked about, is also a twin. So there's got to be some kind of simpatico thing, the comic I was
I am obsessed with twins.
I think that's why I'm codependent.
Do you guys go to like meetings where there's other twins? Would y'all ever do shit like that?
No.
There's not like a big club.
Twin, twin meeting? Yeah. Big twin celebrations?
You like go out to dinner. Yeah. One time I waited tables. It was the weirdest group of people ever. And I was always eavesdropping and trying to psychoanalyze everybody. But I could not put it together. It was like a group of 20, right? And they were all strange looking and had like just weirdly shaped. Everything was strange. Nothing was consistent. And finally, after like what I could glean from the conversation was that they were all near death survivors, whatever you call that. They all had a near-death experience, and that was their little club.
Oh my God.
Like someone had been struck by lightning. Yes, all this crazy. So like if those people go out, then you don't tell twins don't go.
Well, first of all, that's so much more interesting than twins. Oh, well, I mean, at being a twin, I don't like, people are fascinated.
Yeah. BYO Chrome.
Yeah. Near death experience club.
Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
But a great way to like get to die on the way home, though.
But I was.
drank too much and then, you know.
But you're back. But that's why I realized, I was like, oh, that's why they're all kind of like up looking, is because they've all died.
They're kind of shaky.
I was like, no wonder they all look kind of busted because they've all crossed over.
there was this New Yorker article about 5 or 6 years ago, because I've been obsessed with sinkholes my entire life.
Oh, terrifying.
Right?
Yes.
They're crazy. This
they
is what the near
anywhere.
Death. There's this woman just casually dropped in the article that she has fallen into not one, but two sinkholes.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I want to know everything about this woman. And she should be in that club.
Yeah. The sinkhole club? Yeah. The near death club?
Yeah.
So I'm also terrified of sinkholes because they happen anywhere and people can die or your car goes in. There, in Desi Arnaz's autobiography, in the beginning, there's an earthquake in Cuba that a sinkhole opens and swallows a bus full of people.
Woo! No.
And that's one sentence. And then he just moves on with the whole rest of his crazy
And that
life.
Was a premise for I Love Lucy?
Yeah, exactly. But I
I remember that the most.
But plus structural failure is one of my biggest fears.
Yeah.
But like that's of a natural cause, right?
Yeah. But you know, the two sinkholes, like I also think some people might be hexed. I know it sounds crazy, but there was a woman who died. Actually, I guess she almost died from a snake bite, but it was like an eagle or something had a snake in its mouth and dropped it on her.
Oh, I've heard that.
And then she died almost died from being bitten and getting, you know, a poisonous snake bite from above, you know.
Yes. No,
or maybe she did die.
Someone got like bit by a barracuda in the woods because of an eagle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly what
it out and dropped it, and some hiker or somebody got bit by the fish.
Okay, yeah, that's like when that. You gotta rethink
going outside. Yes. Yeah,
just literally. Okay, you gotta go.
Was it this snake?
Yeah. A barracuda in the middle.
It's something like that though, because they're it was like a shark or something.
Sorry,
crazy.
Okay, a snake bite, on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, barracudas are nuts.
But out of this flying, you know, out of the air, out of the beagle's mouth. Crazy.
My friend lived in Alaska and banged so many Bulgarian girls that he spoke Bulgarian after that. Lots of people work there in the summer and there's a huge faction of Bulgarian
people.
Did he
try or did it just happen?
It just happened.
Sex?
It was great. Yeah. Oh, the language barrier was broken. but you see all kinds of crazy shit in Alaska. Like they're shooting stars all the time, 24 hours a day. There's just shit falling out of the sky. But the other thing is you see, like we saw an eagle get into a fight with like two hawks or falcons in the sky.
Oh.
And they're all flying upside down.
Jeez.
And they were like taking the eagle down. It was crazy.
Wow.
I know.
We got to get out of the city, you guys.
You don't like traveling for tour or any of that shit? You like?
I did. I loved it for a really long time.
Yeah.
And then honestly, I think I was getting a little burnt out. And then I met Sarah. Well, we had known each other for a while, but then I just thought, you know, this is like kind of the perfect time to maybe do, I don't know.
Get domestic.
Yeah, do something new, too.
I met Sarah. Yeah. I like Sarah a lot.
Yeah, she's great.
She's cool.
And you have a doggy and you have a little homestead. It's real cute.
Yeah, and then, of course, it's like the grass is greener, right? Like, I'm completely settled now. Yep. We have a little dog, super happy. Like, I'm, you know, writing and coaching, and now I'm like, I could do a road gig. You know what I mean? Because so I have got to figure out like the balance because now I'm like, okay, well, that chapter was fun. What I mean? So I think you always kind of need.
I just did two.
Some excitement.
Back to back out of town gigs with Brad Lookley.
Oh my God, Brad.
His last name?
Lookley.
Oh, okay.
I've known him for probably.
He talks about you a lot.
I love him.
Yeah, he talks about you.
At least 20 years, probably.
And he talks about y'all being like back in New York and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
You started in New York City?
Started in New York City. When I think back, I'm like, thank God I was very naive. Like if I had known, like do you guys ever think about like if you had known now, like the life and the, it's so hard to say you wouldn't do it, but like I was like, I had no idea and that really helped me.
Yes. I would never have started in LA had I known I wanted to do comedy,
I think I would have been an heiress if I could have done it all again.
Oh, God, yes.
You're giving heiress vibes.
You have heiress vibes.
I would have liked to have inherited some money. And
there's still time. Time.
Well, who is there? I've only got my mother, and she has less than me.
Listen, Polly can hook it up. There's still time. Look at that old man Anna Nicole Smith hooked up with.
Yeah.
Which didn't pan out, but
and what about my God, the guy who just got married again, Murdoch. He's engaged. He's 92 and he's engaged.
Who? Rupert Mall. Murdoch is engaged.
Oh, well,
too.
He's a gazillionaire.
I know, but I'd like to see, but you know, he's got to be cheap. Have to be. He's now engaged.
Why would you do it?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's not worth it to have a 90-year-old lizard throbbing on top of you unless there's a check involved.
Unless there's like a money buffer.
Stacks of money and you're on top of the money. I can get there.
I'm into.
Oh my God.
No, they called it off though. I think they just called it off or something.
With a 67-year-old.
Well, she probably saw the light. Yeah.
Yeah.
She saw the
contract.
Well, money makes people not attractive to me. Like there's no one is like so rich that they're hot.
No, I mean Jeff Bezos, could he be uglier?
No, could he be uglier?
I guess he could get
uglier. Like even in my young sluttier days.
Yeah.
I was just poor people. Like What's the competition?
Although if I have to say, if someone, let's just now switch it over to the female genre, because I can't, I said Jeff Bezos and I'm like, oh God.
But he's universally.
Yeah, yeah,
that's fair.
But I do think women or whoever you're attracted to get more attractive. Like if someone was a gazillionaire and they were just like the most generous person on, like they were like, you know, that nonprofit and that, I would be like, I bang you.
Yeah.
Because women are more like that. Yeah. I feel like they're just more generous. Yeah. See, I mean, you are too, Kitten, but you know what
no.
I mean. But I mean, I'm saying it, like in general, it seems like men are really much tighter with their money.
Yeah, and ruining the world.
Yeah, of course. But yeah.
Destroying everything.
You think?
No, because like Martha Stewart, who I'm obsessed with.
Oh, yeah.
When you said that lady fell into a sinkhole twice.
Yeah.
Do you know that Martha Stewart says she's been struck by lightning twice?
Really?
Yes. And says it with a straight face. That's the funniest part.
Well, one was a facelift. That doesn't count.
No, she was doing dishes and says she got struck by lightning. And then there was another time where she got struck by lightning.
She was doing dishes al fresco? Or
did I don't know how. No,
lightning flew into the house?
No, it was,
already that doesn't sound right. Yeah. She has maids to do dishes.
She's yeah. one of those kind of rich people where you name the house.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Right, right, right. Like, it's like her lightning house.
You know, like, we're at like Balmoral. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Name.
You're oh my right. God. I hate that.
Did you see Harry and Meghan were in Austin, Texas? This
no.
is only relative to us. Yes, and they ate at my friend's barbecue place.
Oh my God.
I
have
know.
To say that. I'm a big fan of those two.
Yeah. What's your attraction? I am as
that
well.
They got out.
Oh
it's
yeah.
Crazy,
really.
Right?
I think also I just always thought like I'm not like buying into like scandal stuff. Mm. Like I you know how some people are just obsessed with like royal family and
Pete
stuff?
Died.
Yeah.
Oh, Pete. Oh, God. I love Pete so much.
I bonded with Pete over the fact that we recreationally both watched the Princess Diana funeral because the music is so good.
Oh, no. Again, with Elton John, she died like a candle in the wind.
No, there's something called Song of Athene when they're carrying the bitch out. It's beautiful.
Oh, really?
Anyway,
go ahead. I did watch her wedding when I was little and then watched the funeral. So
you saw the whole full circle.
I guess I saw her. Excuse me for a second.
Yeah. You saw the prequel and the...
I just was like, someone showed me a photo like, I don't know, probably 10 years ago, where they're like, it was my friend who lives in England. And she's like, Harry's father is in, what is it,
right,
Charles?
It's the other guy, yeah. Right.
So I was like, wait, what?
No.
And then you see it and you're like, wait, what? So then I got like, I just, that was the only moment of intrigue.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started watching Suits for the first time on Netflix.
God. What is Suits?
Was it always on Netflix?
It was on some channel.
Right?
And you know how USA and you know how Netflix like repurposes old shows and puts them on the top 10 and then
I'm
you're like
that demographic.
Oh yeah.
That's me.
So I was like, it was during this strike and I was like, I'll watch Suits.
Yeah.
Sarah and I just decided to watch Suits and we legitimately cannot stop.
Wow.
And so Meghan Markle is in Suits.
Oh,
that's my
yes.
whole point.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I was like, okay.
Totally.
Is there a lot of backstabbing?
There's a lot of hijinks.
Is that?
Because that's what all that shit is. It's
yes.
like, you know, women can't be friends. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah. But it's not reality. It's a fake show.
No, yeah. it's or a fake like show. Scripted, and, I mean. And it's a show I would never watch today. It would never get made because there's like 80 dudes and one woman's the secretary and Meghan Markle's falling out of her shirt.
Oh, I love it.
And so, but for some reason I can't, you know, you have, you know, do you have shows that you just can't explain, but you just can't stop watching?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm obsessed with, I'm like, that's my kind of, I watch this movie. I'm now into this where it's like YouTube. You just Google a YouTube full movie and then put in a year, 1995. And weird, normal shit comes up. Like Stargate, the full HD movie was there for free. So I watched that. But then I watched something called Cruel Jaws, which is some weird, horrible Jaws, like, try to be movie.
No way.
It's so
like
funny.
Jaws isn't enough. This is the cool one.
And it's so bad. And one of the lines is this guy walks up on the beach. He goes, hey, I'm in charge of pussy. I just want to check your credentials. And then the two girls he's saying that to go, dick brain, and go running off. I was like, this is so my movie.
Wow.
Yes. So that's
I got to use that line.
I'm telling you. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
I'll send you the clip. Your credentials?
Yeah. But the lady had a line. She's jealous of her marine biologist boyfriend. And she goes, what do I have to do to get your attention? Grow gills? It's so bad.
Amazing.
So yeah, like
great.
I'll watch Suits. I'm into that.
Yeah. now that I know, Aaron, that you guys aren't that far away, you have to come over. Please have your dog come over and shit in the yard.
I know. Here's what I want. I want to play.
Are you going to get a dog?
The neighborhood huskies do. I want to get a dog.
Okay, yeah. But it's like, it's touch and go. I want a small dog because I want to be able to bring it places because I have guilt about leaving my old dog everywhere, like at home. Also, big dog is like a human. Do you know what I mean? When a big dog walks in the room, it's like, who invited Frank?
I'm going to invite you over. There's one weekend in April where Sarah's away. She's doing like a conference in Santa Barbara, like all day Saturday, all day Sunday. So I'm going to be single dad.
Puppy play.
And you got to come over and just hang out and see if you like a
vibe. I love dogs.
I want you to get. I'm desperate to have Daniel get a dog.
I'm going to get one. It's in the universe.
If you need like a dog fix, come over that weekend, and I'm just going to be
also sitter. Same. Like if you ever if you're out of town, I'll totally watch your dog. But what I really want to do is, and you play pickleball, right?
I do.
But do you play badminton?
Oh yeah, we've discussed this.
I want to get in on this.
I love badminton. I think I like badminton maybe even more than pickleball.
Yes, you do.
I am currently
No. But I would like to because I need the arm exercise.
Well,
I
got that ape index you love to brag about.
I know. You this should. See, how could I ever connect a birdie with a net, you know, with a racket?
Well, you can probably never could. Contact happens when you don't
Because I never
even
know where my arms
You notice that?
So fun. I haven't played it in so long, but I used to be upset. We played it as a family growing up. We played so much badminton. The Foleys. The Foleys were obsessed with badminton.
Did you have a net in the yard?
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Yeah.
We have a portable net.
In Brooklyn?
No, you have one in the car.
No, but
no,
this
was in Rhode Island.
Oh, in Rhode Island. Okay.
We moved out of New York when I was like 4 or 5. And then Connecticut for a couple of years, and then Rhode Island. And we always had a badminton. It was just nonstop badminton.
It is the only thing I'm good at. That's it. That's the only thing I can talk shit about. It's the only thing I can like. And I always say this, but in my old days, I could smoke and have a cocktail in my hand and still can win.
Absolutely.
So good.
You know, I was watching the Mary Tyler Moore documentary, which I think is incredible.
I need to watch
it. Is it new?
Relatively, and it's called Being Mary Tyler Moore. It kind of depressed me because of, I feel like women on TV have gone backwards. Like, you know, we haven't really progressed. And she really started this progression. Like, she was the first woman to wear pants on TV and to tuck. And that's what comes out in the documentary. But I was just like, God almighty. She was so cool and so amazing. And I feel like we've all gone back from that. Like, because now women are just, you know, their wives, they set up the male actor and everything. They set up the jokes for, you know, Ray Romano, for whoever the male comic is.
Yeah.
And it's just.
You are very Laura Petrie.
Thank you.
Yeah, you give.
You know what's so crazy? I was named after her.
My friend was named Audra after some bitch on Big Valley.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, but first of all, I think her name is actually Audrey, so her mom got it wrong. Oh. But that was a show that wasn't around.
Well, I think it's because my mom was alone and watching TV, you know, in the hospital.
Yeah.
There's that happy story. And I used to say, well, I'm glad that you weren't watching, you know,
like, we need
Lassie
you to name the baby Polly. And Mary Tyler Moore comes on television. Yeah.
I randomly got an email, and this is a fairly recently, someone had friends had a baby and they named her, I don't know, Claire. And then a week later, I can't remember. It was something, it doesn't matter. It was like, let's say Claire. Then the next week, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, never happened to me. I got another email. After being with our baby for a week, we realized she's not Claire. She's, Marjorie.
Wow.
And I was like, okay.
They updated y'all on the name.
Yeah. I was like, first of all, I was like, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't think anybody would be like, I'm going to stick, but also completely bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, at the same time, I was like, I don't actually know how to feel.
After being with our baby for a week, we decided to name her shit pants.
Yeah.
It's like, what was the baby giving you for 7 days?
Yeah. How unclear could that baby be?
This is Tantrum, my son.
Right.
He was John. How fucking late.
I thought you were going to say, after a week with Claire,
so really
we've decided to give her back.
Yeah.
Like, no. Also, who needs to be? We don't want to be parents.
Also, none of us remembered that Who's your
you even had a baby?
Your baby's,
I'm like, your baby's who gives a shit to be in on the fucking email loop that much? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My friends, and granted, we were all at their wedding, but they when they got divorced, they called all of us to tell us, we just want you to hear before Facebook tells you that we're getting divorced. I was like, who cares?
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Who cares? But also the announcement of it all.
The announcement.
Yeah.
This is also one of my favorites. When someone breaks up with someone or gets divorced, whatever, and they put on Instagram that they need, please respect our privacy at this time. And you're like, nobody knows you. Yeah. Literally, nobody knows you.
You can have all the privacy you want.
Pull down, nobody cares. That makes me laugh so hard. So many times I run into the living room and like, Sarah, this is another one.
They want privacy?
They want, please respect our privacy at our time.
Oh,
okay.
Are you? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We're all,
you work at a pharmacy in Wisconsin. Take it down five notches.
Nobody knows. Wear a white coat to work. I can't tell you apart. I don't know who you are. My friends had kids. Christ. Yeah, you know, there's like that weird era where all your friends the same age have kids and get married and all that shit, and then you don't and become a comedian. Yeah. But it was happening in such a blur that I knew their first rounds, the names of all those kids.
Oh,
but then
yeah.
when they had second.
When they got remarried.
Or any of it. I don't know any of the new kids, right?
Yeah.
So the 6-year-old, I'm like, hello, Rebecca. And then her brother, I'm like.
And you.
Rebecca's friend. Like, but I don't give a shit to learn or to get in the loop. But it's really hard. One of my really good friends, I was like trying to tiptoe around. I was like, so how's the family?
Little baby.
Yeah, and
the small one. And the new one. And he's 4.
How's the new one?
He's been new for 4. Years.
How's the little one, my husband? No.
And these are it's like all of the same. Also the same thing happens is when your friends tell you that they're just not doing well in their marriages, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, as a homosexual male, I think that means they want to swing.
Is it like two gay guys and they were talking to you about it like, hey, you want to jump in?
Like straight couples fishing for how to have an open relationship. I should have said it like that.
Yes.
Because it was more, they just assumed that I'm a gay man so that I have like open, that kind of stuff.
Or,
you know, would you know, like that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And I was like, y'all got to stop including me on all your trials. You know what I mean?
Because game, you know, listen, I totally get your perspective, but I get their perspective because in my point of view, gay men, let's say like, not obviously all gay men, let's say 99 out of 10, 9.9, you know, I think have the absolute healthiest approach to relationships. Mm-hmm. And that is no rules, you know, or they set a very open, like, you're not going to get everything from your person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I remember, like, I had this couple in my life for so long, I think they were together at least like 20 years and they were like compatible in every way, but they just didn't want, they had completely different, can I swear on this?
Yes.
They wanted to fuck other people.
Yeah.
But not honestly because they just weren't attracted to like, they couldn't bring like a third person in because they didn't have the same attraction to the same people.
Correct.
And yeah, I mean, they're still together. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's not like a crazy, like, oh, they're out every night or like, it's just like once in a while or whenever, like, that's just what they do.
It's a relationship,
I love your bit. I don't know if you want to burn if you think of it as burning the material about how, gay women meet and how straight and how gay men meet.
Oh yeah. No, it's not. Burning. This actually has happened to me so many times where I was just like, I should probably just write this down. but no, I just say like straight people, you know, they meet in like really boring ways. Like when you ask them how they meet, you know, it's like bar, friends, you know, dating app. And the guy took forever to propose and the woman's currently disappointed. And then gay men, it's like when you ask gay men how they meet, they're like, well, you know, the night I met my husband, my dick was through a hole in the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my husband was on the other side of the wall, you know, something like that. But the thing that resonates the most for me is because I've been in this situation so many times when you ask lesbians, like, oh, how did you guys meet? I just say, like, put another log on the fire. Get yourself a case of wine, yeah. Not a bottle, because you're going to be there for two to three weeks. I mean, I love asking couples how they meet,
yeah.
But I forget, like, you gotta, like, put a timer on it with lesbos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they just start...
Or just put it in chapters, so you know what I mean? Yeah. You know when there's, like, a break.
I just can't... Sometimes I get caught doing that, because I just do, like meet cute stories. Mm-hmm. And then a couple minutes in, I go, oh my God, I've done this to myself again.
Oh yeah.
They're nicest people on earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, it's uncanny.
We saw each other, then we didn't see each other. And then we had coffee.
They start basically from three relationships before this one. they really do. They're like, well, at the time, uh-huh. I had a dead end job at Bank of America.
Oh my God.
Oh,
my mom will tell you the time and temperature of the Tuesday before the actual story starts happening. We're like, we need to get to Friday.
Yes.
But I was in a band called Show Me Tiger, which was fun. It was a hip hop band, and it was fronted by two lesbians.
Wow, it
was so
that.
Great.
Love
Show Me Tiger.
This.
My stage name was DJ Mama Cash.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
She choked on money.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was so good. And one of my friends, she's now married to this girl, but it was like and this is 100 years ago, right?
Yeah.
But the first time they dated, of course, and then there were different relationships in between, and now they're together. The first 45 minutes of band practice was the text messages of them breaking up and getting back together. and then look at this. And then she said that. And you'd be like, oh my God, can we just get to a song?
Yeah.
And literally, so when they finally got married, it was like, fucking good. Like, I know how much y'all fucking love each other.
Oh my God.
But it is a decades long story of how they even got to marriage. You know what I mean? To that point.
Yeah.
But you're right though, because like I call them the Los Feliz Daddies. Some of the hottest sex I ever had was with these guys, and they've been married like 35 or 40 years.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was like not at their house, and sometimes it would be at their house. And one of the daddies would just be like upstairs, like watching television. And then sometimes they would both be in and it would be on. But like they had the dynamic worked out that it was not like a broken rule or betrayal all these emotions.
I always wonder, has that ever been an issue? Like, I can't imagine that it would just always be understood. Like if a third person is in there, like, is it ever like, you know, with another guy
jealousy?
Going? Yeah. Or just like, oh. We're doing that tonight? It's a movie night.
I'll say this.
Or whatever.
This guy, it was really sexy. And I just moved to LA. This is like years ago. Yeah. We were all three in the room. Uh-huh. And then one of the husbands left, went and got his hair cut.
No.
And came back.
No.
Because we were still going. But yes, he fully came back. Like, clipped and all that.
God, and that's amazing.
And that's how casual.
So you call it endurance. I call that boredom.
Like, I mean,
God damn it.
I guess I could go to supercuts if y'all are going to keep going.
I can't keep going on that. I got to paint something.
That's how blasé the emotional dynamic of like what was happening was.
Wow. I'm going to assume it's in the afternoon and the lights were on.
There was a daytime, but there was late. There was all, I'm telling you, they had it worked out. It was fascinating.
Yeah. Wow.
But if the minute you started.
Left for a haircut is the funniest.
Oh my God.
Really
on like
that.
A Saturday. It was so great. But yeah, that was one of those moments where I was like, okay, they like LA is also very different. LA has progressive gay relationships in places in like the Midwest where the culture is.
How about Straightville?
I just think like,
give us a report from Straightville, Laura.
Okay. I just, as someone with major ADD, I could think of 1,000 things to do during the, you know, 18 minutes that we're having sex.
You're
not even looking
at me. He's watching the Oscars.
He's just so sick of it.
It's the red carpet. You guys,
like, does that work? Do you think like
you could leave and come back?
No. The open. What do you think the percentages with straight people have open?
I'm really afraid of it. I think it's hard to focus on one person.
Yeah.
And that's me.
Yeah.
I can't finish masturbating. I don't know about you. I get bored. I think I go, I'm going to go take myself for a walk.
I don't need another broad break in my spirit.
Right, you're right. You're wrong.
I think it's different with straight couples because you can't always mix it, right? With gay, yeah. If that's the attraction, right? If it's man, right?
Yeah.
It's like there's somewhere in there, it's an element, but it's like, does a husband have to get his wife into a woman? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I feel like
might
be like less or harder to broach, right?
I don't
Is
even
that the
mean,
right word?
I don't even, yeah. I just mean not bringing someone in. Mm. Just be
kicking
like,
someone out.
I'm gonna be back late tonight.
I never get that though, honestly. Yeah. Cause like that would be hard for me to be like, I'm gonna go get a burger. Like, what do you do when you're like, I'll be right back?
Well, no, I mean, if you like, you know, if you had a relationship where you're like, okay, you know, you can, when you feel like it, you can have sex with this other person or whoever, like Sarah and I have talked about it, you know, randomly, like back in the day. And I was like, okay, it's not like a deal breaker for me, but like, I don't want to know at all.
Yeah.
I don't, you know?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I need to know every detail.
Oh, no.
And I, first of all, I have no intention, but I'm
right.
And she's like, no, if you like came to me and we talked about it, or if you did something and then we talked about it, she's like, you know, as long as it's like open and we're talking about it. And I'm like, oh my God, no.
I can't
because even though
you want a book report,
she says that.
Yeah.
Because honestly, she is extremely like thoughtful. I mean, she's wonderful. So it's not like she, you know, I just think, my like repressed Catholic guilt, like, you know, like I would feel so like sitting down in front of this woman that I love being like, I know it would be okay. I know you said it would be okay, but I f***ed Sally last night.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's how it went down. Like I just,
how do you do that?
I think Garrett and I, like sometimes we'll watch an old movie, like an old 70s movie or something, and we'll both comment on a woman's boobs.
Then you guys need to really watch Cruel Sharks. Cruel Jaws. Cruel Jaws. You really
Maybe did. We should.
I love old gay men because I'll be like, they'll hand you like an ashtray full of pills, right? And they'll be like, take a pill. They're like, well, what is it? They'll be like, just take one. She took one. Take one. Be like, what is it?
I need to go to these parties.
I used to say,
if a pill rolled under the office door, I'd take it. I don't give a shit what it is. At work. Yeah.
I've always been too nervous with the pill stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's too easy.
You know, I love alcohol more than I can say.
Mm.
Wait a second.
But I know how
but
to control
drink,
it.
But you don't drink anymore, right?
Or no, I drink, but I have to drink less.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Me too.
I don't know why we haven't been hanging out more than.
It's not a bad thing.
You're
but
one of my very few friends that drinks anymore.
I'm like one and done now, which is great, but like.
Like two max. Mm-hmm. Usually one.
Mine used to be like, if I could get 6 drinks, then I'd be like.
Yeah.
Ready to drink.
Well, I think the key is, are you on antidepressants?
No.
Okay. Because
do you
want to
be?
That's great. But if you're on antidepressants, I always say that that's like the spoiler on the back of the car. Like, it kind of works, kind of doesn't work. You know, but it makes everything go a little too fast.
You know?
So you're not supposed to. I'm on antidepressants, so I'm not supposed to drink. But I do.
Yeah. You know what's so annoying? First of all, just getting older.
You crack me up.
Getting older, you just
snake.
Yeah, you get so like you get more comfortable, you get more confidence, but at the same time, like your body's like just like I just was like, if I felt this way and I had like this much like confidence and just kind of general excitement in my 20s, like in my 30s, you know what I mean? Well, it was probably a good thing. But now when I drink, I'll have, I had a gin and tonic last night. And then I have to take like at least half a gummy to go to sleep, stop these thoughts.
Yeah.
And then I was like, gummies. Well, I got to cut down on my caffeine. I'm like, I just felt like this is a walking buzzkill right
now. You're fucking Judy Garland over there. Like.
Meanwhile, it's one drink, half a gummy,
right.
And like, don't drink 3 cold brews, you know? Like,
I was giving myself shit because it was pandemic, but I would go fucking running to Griffith. I would run up and run down. I was doing shit like 3 times a week. I'm 41 now, but I was 38, 39 then. And I'm giving myself crap because I'm getting older. I'm like my knees and shit like that. And I totally zeroed out that it was pandemic. And I was also dosing like 100 milligrams of weed when I would run.
Well, you were running.
Oh,
you mean right before?
Yeah, I'd take
oh my
it.
God.
And then I would go running. I was like, well, that's why. You were and high as shit, and you couldn't feel your knees.
Oh, like, my God.
Being wait, like, so we're you, 40. Like, you stop. Can,
yeah, the weed, I think it's just like a slippery slope because I cannot... I'm like terrible when I smoke weed.
Oh, the gummy though.
Or whatever it is.
Really?
I can't like be in public.
Function?
I did it like 15 years ago. My friend was like huge into like, we'd smoke weed all the time, but I have to stay in the house. Not all the time. I probably did it 5 times uh-huh. because I can't like, I would just be like, it's such a, I can't take Aaron Foley in public eye.
Well, what about sativa or the kind of energy pot?
See, that didn't really
anything okay. for me.
There is something called green crack. It's a really? It's a strain.
Oh, it sounds good.
It's very yeah. light, very focusy, all that kind of
green,
stuff.
Green, but it's called green crack.
Yeah, it's a lovely name, but it's very like docile. But I don't know.
How does it make you feel?
Like I can like work on something.
Oh, okay.
Focused.
Yeah, I've
like
actually
that, like this. Like that.
Work on finding the remote for the television.
No. That's
all. Oh my God.
And then you're just like,
I will say that. Well, that's how I end up watching 80s Press Your Luck on YouTube. Yeah. That shit is so fun. It's hours. Do you know you can watch old Price is Right?
Oh.
All those. Do you remember the Barker Beauties and how they had that whole scandal?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
they would make them wear those like. They were always in a bathing suit or right. like a unitard.
Just, can you?
And hard nipples. At
I mean,
10
the thing. I mean, just even imagining Bob Barker as, you know, a straight virile man.
Yeah, like,
he just died.
I know, but I mean, just even I know, but
he
I mean,
just died.
I can't. I have a
all the shit.
Well, oh. you know, I just didn't. He doesn't seem like a pussy hound, is what I guess. I'm oh.
well,
say.
He was pre Viagra too. That's the other yeah. thing. So, yeah. what kind of weird cocktail? How many gummy oh. drink? Like, oh. what kind of Foley recipe was he on?
No. I don't know. No. But there was an interview, and there was just something about him. This photo of him and his wife, and an article, and it said. That his wife said, I'm like Bob in that I love him. Like something like, he loves him and uh-huh. I love him. Uh-huh. Like, so he's probably like, you know, yeah. massive narcissist.
Oh, yeah. God. But I that's can't even imagine.
That's the gig, though. I want to host a game show and like never look back. How dumb is it? Like, even when Pat Sajak said he was retiring, my fucking ears are like, like, maybe.
You'd be fucking great at
you
it.
You would be great.
You're so welcoming and funny and kind.
I just
want
to play Wheel of Fortune. I could yeah. kill on that game.
Yeah. But you would be a fun game show to host.
I think it would be fun. Are you competitive as a sports person? I mean, obviously, it's hand in hand.
Well, this is why I'm in PT for rehabbing my shoulder for my little aggression on the pickleball court.
What'd you do? You threw a racket?
No. I just was like,
I mean, because that is fucking lame. Just,
you pickleball?
It's like throwing down a ping pong paddle and go, breaking it.
Right?
No.
In the raw emotion of it. But you play regularly.
I did. I haven't played in a couple weeks because I just went a little crazy. Like, my writing gig ended. So it's like, you're sitting a lot. Then I just was like, you know, going to the gym and lifting and pickleball. Mm-hmm. And I just went a little bit too. I can't do anything like half.
Oh my God.
You pulled out. What happened exactly? Did you?
Oh, it's like pre, have you ever heard of frozen shoulder?
No.
I've heard of it. I've giving never, someone the never cold heard shoulder.
Of it. I've never heard of it in my life. But yeah. I got it like 2 years ago. All of a sudden your shoulder just freezes. It's oh, so
like
weird.
Motionless or you can't feel it?
No, like motionless. Like you can't lift your... So anyway, it's starting again, but I now know what it is. So I just... No, I just read
frozen
it. So
does shoulder.
It's just exercises and strength thinning.
It doesn't hurt when it does?
Yeah, it hurts, but like... I had, you know, it's like you learn a new vocab term and then you're like a new word. I think that's, wow. I just said vocab term yeah. for the word.
Yeah.
And then you just like hear it again and again. Yeah, I was like, my shoulder was messed up and I went to the doctor. It was a couple years ago and they go, you have frozen shoulder. I was like, what are you talking
Never
about?
Yeah.
And then I was in a conversation because I was like, oh, I can't play because I have this thing called frozen shoulder. Immediately, 15 women in my life were like, I have frozen shoulder. I'm like, what? It was just like the craziest thing.
You're out to dinner at restaurants and everyone around you saying, I'll have the frozen shoulder. Yeah.
Oh, that really
frozen shoulder. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm
exactly. You're at the dog park. Frozen shoulder. Get over here.
It's just a weird... I'm telling you, you will hear someone that has frozen shoulder now that I've introduced you to the term.
Mine was Bell's palsy, which I've never had.
Oh my God, that's so frightening.
It's frightening, right? You know what it is?
Right, yeah.
Because my friend got it and because he was like, I was like, how did you get it? He's like, a cold wind blew. I was like, what? Yes, a cold wind. And his face went, and then it bells probably for like months.
God, you know, that was like the thing. I read this thing about
we should about
the Kansas City. What's the Kansas City team?
Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
Yeah, the fans were frostbitten.
Oh, the amputation.
And they got amputated.
Shut up. Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah, the fans of the Kansas City Chiefs, yeah, they were so cold, they didn't realize that they had frostbite, and they had to get their limbs amputated.
At the game?
This was like the conference final game. Kansas City was playing, I don't know, maybe Buffalo. I can't remember. And with the wind chill at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, it was something like negative 15, and everyone was just 8,000 beers.
Right.
And people had their shirts, you know, like crazy men doing crazy.
Right.
But it was awful.
It really happened.
So there were so many emergencies, they cannot host it. Like,
that's
you want to host a playoff game because Arrowhead is like the hardest stadium to play in. Because the fans are just crazy, like in a good way, but they're also like drunk and it's negative 20.
Yeah.
And you can't corral that either. Yeah. And
they need
like,
to be inside a tent or something.
It's just something that like the NFL literally is like, we have to look into this because this can't happen.
I will say this.
But that's embarrassing though. Also, it's like, well, at least it was worth it. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, at least you were hiking and
can you imagine
cheering?
You're like, you just show up with no leg and you're like, what happened? You're like,
the Chiefs drunk at a football game.
Yeah, like what the?
Yeah,
the NFL though. Well, I won't get into what.
Well, it's in.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean, like their whole concussion. They're like, we'll look into it.
Oh, it's
everything.
Absolutely,
like, they're suing the stadium. Right?
It's just the worst.
Cowboys. This is also. Have I talked about this before? They built the new stadium, which is not new anymore, but the new Texas Stadium, whatever, in Dallas for the Cowboys. You know, they eminent domained all the houses in a neighborhood and gave everyone something like $900,000. And this one lady just didn't budge, and they couldn't break ground until they dealt with her, and everything had been cleared and everything like that. And then that bitch got like $11 million or something.
Woo!
More than everybody else, because it was the NFL. It was like, and the Cowboys franchise was like, they have money.
God. They can buy you
a new house.
Yeah. By the way, can I just do a nerdy fact about that stadium?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, because I'm not from Texas and I'm from New York, so I hate the Dallas Cowboys.
Sure.
So I'm just saying this. The architect of that stadium, on either end, behind the end zones, there's just like almost like an open square. I don't know how else to describe it. But what they didn't realize is because of the sun, at different parts of the game, you are now going down the field with blasting sun in your eyes, where like you're literally almost taken out of the game.
Oh, and I was like, horrible.
That just makes all the sense in
Very
the world.
Very Texan. Yes. Yeah.
Literally you're like, it was like the opening game, because the first game ever played in that stadium was Giants Cowboys, and we never beat the Cowboys in the last couple of years, but it was Eli Manning and we won. And it was the first drive of the Cowboys and going in their new stadium, and the quarterback's like no one could see. And I was like, this is so fitting of Jerry Jones.
Oh my God.
Is that why they wear the black stuff under their eyes? Is that.
Yeah, I think so. How funny.
But like, you designed a stadium where half the game you're blind, you blinded your quarterback.
Yeah. So I lived through the 90s Cowboys, right? Where it was like Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman, and I can't remember any other people. But then our friend, who was super rich, moved out. Her parents built a new house out in Azle, and their neighbor was Troy Aikman. And that was the most famous thing. I had never met anyone. The Chumpas family was so famous. The one time we went there, it was like, I literally was like trying to look. Because he's like ex-con hot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he is handsome.
He's like, or like busted stupid.
Yeah, I know
handsome.
Who he
is. There's something about him. And he's not that bright when I see him like commenting on things. But I don't know.
But neither is the president.
Oh my God.
I think Tony Romo's cute. Troy Aikman did nothing for me. Tony Romo has got I got a real soft spot for Tony Romo.
Do you know who I like? I've never seen a water polo player that is not smoking.
Oh my God. They're
beautiful.
Holy shit. Right? Not a single bad one.
And just like ripped and just
incredible. It's the weirdest physique and it's so attractive. I love that sport.
Oh my God.
You know what?
Also soccer.
Before we convince Aaron to come to the other side. we have to wrap this up. Mm-hmm. And Aaron, I want to know, how do people find you for coaching and stand up and everything?
Yeah, it's all on my website, aaronkfoley.com. And yeah, if I'm doing stand up, which I am doing a little bit, I'll post shows, there's a whole page for coaching that explains everything. And I'll give you a little plug. Like, if you've been doing stand up 5 years, or you're you've got a date on the books, like I'm working with someone on their late night Netflix, 0 years.
Wow, that's great.
It's fun for me to have like an array of different, or if you've got like, a wedding speech and you're nervous, mm-hmm. just hit me up and we'll make it fun.
Oh, we can totally vouch for that too. You'd be lucky to work with Aaron.
But
for
also
sure.
Follow Aaron on the social media, because you post clips and your
I've been posting clips on
so
Instagram.
Funny.
Yeah.
You're like a real master. You always annihilate. And also you run Drunk on Stage.
Well, that's really Akbar. Bruce.
It's Bruce's show,
but it's
so fun. With you too. But even
it's
in
so
that
fun.
Small
What's, is that a sta- is that a show called Drunk
there?
On Stage?
Yeah, you were there. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was your birthday celebration thing.
No. Oh, no, Bruce has been doing it for, I know we have to go. It's Tuesdays at Akbar in Silver Lake. It's such a great workout room.
Oh, it was a really great show.
It's just so fun.
But you kill there all the time.
Well, like, right back at you two, please. If you guys, first of all, the pairing of you two is like a dream sequence. When I saw that announcement, I was like, go see these two. Two of my all-time
favorites. Well, we're going to be together, the three of us, in Puerto Vallarta.
I'm going to follow up. I'm going to do R-E-R-E.
You will. We're going to talk back and I'll even call Sarah about it and say, look, get this done.
We're going to make this happen.
Okay.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you guys so much.
Bye.